much to celebrate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Friday morning. Bank of America reported its second quarterly loss this year. The nation's biggest bank lost $1 billion in the third quarter. That's more than analysts were expecting. This is the last quarterly report under CEO Ken Lewis. Yesterday, Lewis bowed to pressure from the nation's pay czar and agreed to give back about $1 million in earnings he's already received. Marketplace's Steve Henn explains.
Ken Lewis will also forego $1.5 million in salary he was expecting. Still, Lewis, who's retiring at the end of the year, is in line for a $53 million pension, plus millions more in deferred compensation and stock. Ken Feinberg, the Treasury Department's pay czar, hasn't signed off on Lewis's retirement package yet, so those details could change. Lewis has been under sustained attack for months. He pushed ahead with a takeover of Merrill Lynch late last year after he learned of enormous losses. That move enraged shareholders. The Fed's forced changes on Bank of America's board last spring, pushing Lewis out as chairman. Then 2 weeks ago, he announced he'd be retiring earlier than planned. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
We heard from General Electric this morning, and they reported profits fell 45% in the third quarter. Cost-cutting measures are credited for the better-than-expected results. Halliburton today reported a profit of $262 million. That's less than half the profit reported this time last year. So how are markets doing? Shares in Europe are lower right now, a quarter to half a percent. Asian stocks didn't budge much today. Here at home, the S&P added about half a percent yesterday. The Nasdaq barely registered, and the Dow tacked on 47 points to close at 10,062. Well, from the Help Wanted department, a translation in Britain is looking to hire people with a specific linguistic skill, fluency in Glaswegian, the tongue spoken in the Scottish city of Glasgow. More from Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard.
Glaswegian English has baffled visitors for years. The heavy accent alone renders it hard to follow, but add the rapid delivery and the local patois, and it's incomprehensible to the outside world. Take the word toty, for example. It means small, or hee-haw, for nothing, or the phrase shoot the craw, to leave in a hurry. Very quaint for tourists, but Glasgow is growing as a business centre. The language barrier is becoming a problem. Jurga Zelinskien of the London interpreting firm Today Translations.
We had had some requests from our clients who were in need of some assistance when they were holding the meetings in Glasgow with local people. This is one of the reasons that we advertise for Glaswegian interpreters.
Business visitors who want to go it alone in Glasgow are advised at least to take a phrasebook. And whatever you say in this famously tough city, try not to invite what they call a Glasgow kiss. In American English, it's a headbutt. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
How about this for economic stimulus? The other day, a woman in a limo showed up at the Columbus, Ohio Burlington Coat Factory store. She announced she'd won the lottery and would pay for everyone's purchases, up to $500. Yeah, you know how this is going to end. People started grabbing items and calling relatives. Then the woman said she didn't have the money, and a mob of about 1,500 people got angry and started taking things without paying. Police were called. The limo driver turned the woman in. She was arrested on 3 outstanding warrants, but not charged for the store incident pending a mental evaluation.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conserve more.com.
The United Nations sponsors climate change talks in December in Copenhagen, Denmark, and it'll take consensus from the world's biggest polluters to advance the issue and control the greenhouse gases that are affecting climate. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich joins us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So what does the U.S. take to Copenhagen?
Ah, that's the big question mark. The House passed a bill last June that sets an overall cap on carbon emissions, and the Kerry Boxer bill is moving through the Senate. It's very similar.
And it's just a matter of reconciling these two bills, and then the president signs it before Copenhagen?
Not quite that simple. The real politics here aren't domestic. They're between the United States and China, the world's two biggest emitters of greenhouse gases by humans. China says these bills don't go nearly far enough to reduce carbon. A lot of the debate, Steve, is over the base year from which you measure how much progress you've made on pollution. China and most developing nations want to use 1990. But by that standard, we here in the United States are offering very little. By the year 2020, for example, the cap in the House bill would get us to just about 3% under where we were in 1990.
And why are China, Bob, and other developing nations insisting we do so much more?
Well, so they can do less. They say they are developing, so their consumers should have the same rights to cars and appliances America and other developed nations have long had.
But China is already the world's biggest emitter of greenhouse gases, right, from humans?
Yes, but that's because there are over a billion Chinese, not because their average standard of living is close to Americans. I mean, if the typical Chinese citizen had access to the same number of cars and appliances and everything as the typical American, well, we could kiss the environment goodbye.
So we're going to have to cut a deal with China.
Yeah, but it's not going to be ready by Copenhagen. Look, any cut in greenhouse gases is going to be expensive for American consumers who are in no mood to bear additional costs.
So what's in store then?
It may be awkward, Steve. The president picks up his Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo on December 11th, and then he comes to Copenhagen a week later with very little to offer except the audacity of hope.
Former Labor Secretary and current Professor of Public Policy Robert Reich. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Share your thoughts about climate change or pocket change or the lack thereof. Check out a podcast while you're there, too, at our website, marketplace.org. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.